All right, how are we all doing? Great. So I'm really, really happy to be back here in Warsaw. I was here last year on the Build Tour, and you guys, you always come up with such amazing venues, and you're all so friendly, and the team here are fantastic, so I'm really happy to be here. I'm going to talk to you today about what's new in our artificial intelligence. So I work in our technical evangelism and development group out of Redmond, although I'm based in the UK. I've done a lot of UWP stuff, but I've been working a lot just lately in our AI space. So, you know, at Microsoft, we really believe that artificial intelligence is about amplifying human ingenuity. It's about allowing you to put smart things into your applications that relate better to people or can do smart things with analyzing data and getting insights into it or facial analysis. But we wanted to make sure that this was available to all developers, so not just, you know, high-powered computer scientists. We want this to be, we wanted to democratize AI and make sure that everybody can take advantage of it. And we've done that with our product called Cognitive Services. So we launched Cognitive Services only 2 years ago, and it started with just 4 APIs, but now it's grown to around 29, and it's a really broad set of services that many developers across the world are taking advantage of now to build great services. And they're broadly divided into these 5 kind of areas around vision services for doing, you know, object and detection in images and object and photo detection, around speech, understanding what people are saying and translation and all that kind of stuff, language analysis, getting the intent from natural language, great set of knowledge services, drawing on all the huge databases of the Bing search engine and everything that lies behind that, and some search services, which are around about, you know, academic research and analysis and of documents and that kind of stuff. And all of these available for you to help give your apps a human side. So why cognitive services? Well, you know, first of all, they're really easy to use. They're all just exposed as HTTP REST services. So just a few lines of code, and you can easily call these services and incorporate them into your apps. It's really easy to get started. You just need to go to one place. Go to www.microsoft.com/cognitive, and everything's there. You don't have to go off, you know, looking all around lots of different places. Super flexible. No matter what your language, your framework, your platform, because they're just REST services, you can easily call these services with a few lines of code. And you can call them whatever your language, be it C# and .NET or Python, Node.js, or a host of others. And these services are really well tested and backed up by our scientists at Microsoft Research, experts in their field in artificial intelligence, and also by our Bing and our Azure machine learning organizations. So you're really well backed with these services, and they really do work really well. Great documentation and services to support you in taking advantage of these. So through this, we are really bringing AI to every developer. And since we launched 2 years ago, over 500,000 developers have used our cognitive services. So digging a little bit deeper into these areas, you know, this great things like we can detect faces in images, and we can figure out the emotion and the age. I'm sure many of you have seen the "How old am I?" and "Twins are not" services. We can do really clever analysis of images. We can do great things around language. Bing Translator, for example. I mean, we just launched in preview at Build. We demoed a new PowerPoint plugin, which does a couple of interesting things. So it actually, first of all, goes through all your slides and pulls out all the text and all your slide notes, and it feeds that into a custom language understanding service so that it understands the specific terminology that's in your slides. And then it links in real time, as I'm speaking to you, links in real time to our Bing translation services, and it can translate and put subtitles or if you've got the app, Microsoft Translator app on Windows or iOS or Android, you can follow along with subtitles in your own language in real time. Super powerful, and that's all the power of AI behind that sort of thing. Great services, of course, around speaker recognition and language understanding, or the power for computer programs to understand natural language. And around search, we've got all this huge search engine, so we've got lots of different search services. And then knowledge understanding as well, and semantic understanding, including our Q&A maker. This is really cool. If you want to build a bot, for example, where you want to have people easily ask questions and get the right answer, we can just feed into our Q&A maker system your database of questions and answers, and it will automatically build you out an AI-backed service that really helps people to make queries against that. So a whole bunch of great services that we've got there. And at Build, we announced a couple of new ones. There's the Video Indexer, which uses some of our vision and computer vision and face and semantic understanding and language understanding to help you come up with easy indexing of video content. And also our Cognitive Services Labs, which is your chance to get really early access to some of our services that are just in preview. So you can work alongside our team in getting these services really drilled down and get them working really well and give us your feedback. And you get early access to these. The early ones are around gesture recognition or routing information. So check that out if you want to actually get in and use some of these services ahead of time. But we also spoke to our developers and asked them what they liked, in the current services and what they would like to see. And the message came through very loud and clear that what you really want are custom services that are easy to customize to your particular language or your particular problem domain. So we already had our custom language understanding speech service, and we've added at Build three new ones. New custom vision service, custom Bing search services, and a custom decision service. And these are really great because you can bring your own data to prime these models, and they're backed by our AI algorithms. And it makes it really easy for you to build an AI-backed system, a model that is customized to your scenario. So you can do really interesting things like understand children's speech or an image-based system that's looking for fine-grained recognition based on images. And these services are getting really popular and make the building of a custom AI-backed system really quite simple. So let's have a look at one of these right now. Okay, so this is, I'm going to start by looking at our version 1 API around computer vision. So, this is our generic service. So it can analyze images. This is the API tester in the console. So you can just try this out without having to write any code. I've got up here a image of a leaf. So I'm going to copy the URI of that, and I'm going to plug this into our API tester here. I've got a subscription key in here that I've added in beforehand, which is you go up to your Azure portal and you can get one of these keys that allows you access to these services. And down here, it tells you how to actually make calls to it. So this in the request body, you can pass it a raw image binary or an image URL, and it gives an example here. So I'm just going to replace that one with our leaf. And we can now go ahead, and this is the request URL. It's going to make a call, and we can try it out. So let's send it off to the service. OK, we've got a response, and it's come back as a 200, OK. And what it's telling us is that is an image of plant leaves. Now, that's true. And that's still very useful. The V1 service is great for people who are partially sighted, for example. We've got a great example of a system where a partially sighted or blind person with smart glasses on can tap the side and it will capture an image, and then it will send it up to our image service, and it'll tell them kind of what's in front of them. So that can be really helpful for somebody who's partially sighted. But what if we wanted to build an app where we wanted to give an image, we actually wanted to detect exactly what kind of leaf that was? Well, we can do that with our new custom vision service. So this is the homepage at customvision.ai. You can create your own projects in here. And we've created one which is the plant vision service. And here you've got the images that we've uploaded. Now, to use this service, all you need to do is prime it with some of your own data. So, you know, just a couple of dozen images is enough to get started. And then what you have to do is you go through them and tag them with terms that identify specifically what your training images are representing. These things here, this one has been tagged as a cypress. And you can add, and there's a whole bunch of others that you could choose to tag it with if that was appropriate. And once you've got your database, your sample of these images, then you just hit this big green button at the top here, the train button, and it goes off and it will build a new model. And it takes a few minutes the first time you do it, or just a few seconds with one that it's already known about. It's still building that new iteration there. And when it's done, you end up with a newly updated natural AI-backed model that we can use in our application. I'm going to just switch back to the... Oh, it just finished there. And you can get the URL where you can go off, and this is the URL, the endpoint in the cloud where you can call your service. So let's try against our new service the same thing. I'm going to plug in that same image URI of that leaf, and then we're going to call this new custom vision service. And that's the image it's sending up, and the result has come back, and you can see there that this one is saying that it is 98.6% sure that that is a rhododendron. So that's our custom vision service there is working and identifying that particular leaf. So really easy to use, and that is the essentials of using the custom vision service. Okay. So just before I leave the custom services, another one really interesting is the custom speech service. So this one, you can train it up with your own vocabulary. So it could be, you know, legal terms or cookery terms or whatever your particular your application domain is. So give it the vocabulary. And you can also customize it with a speaking style. So you supply a number of example utterances. And it could be used for recognizing how children speak, because they have their own phrasing, their own kind of way of saying stuff. So you can do that with this. Also, interestingly, custom acoustic models. So if the service is going to be used in an environment where there's a lot of background noise or it's particularly echoey, you can train it up with some recordings, and it will improve its understanding of how to recognize speech in that environment, like in an airport or a railway station or a big hall like this. So you can train it up to improve the recognition. And then once you've done that, you just build the model and deploy it to your endpoint just the same, and it's still a REST service, and you can just call it just the same as all of the other ones. All right. So let's just change tack a little bit. I just want to talk about bots. So bots are often talked about in the same breath as AI. They're actually not AI, but they often incorporate elements of AI because bots are really coming to the fore because of their ability to take part in a conversations as a platform solution. So people often talk to bots using natural language, and to understand natural language, you'll need to use a service like our Lewis cognitive service, language understanding information service. So what exactly is a bot? Well, it's actually just a web service. It's a REST service itself. That's all it is. It sits there waiting for a message to be sent to it, and then it sends a response back. So there's no magic there. So your code sits in here. You probably build it on top of the Bot Builder SDK. And then it just sits there in an Azure website or some such. And then from there, of course, it can connect to other Azure services. So it could connect to other APIs, to Cosmos DBs, or Azure Machine Learning, or Azure Search Services, and that sort of thing. And it could connect to our cognitive services, so for natural language understanding, or vision APIs, or any of the other ones. But then the interesting bit is actually the bot connector service, the bit in the top middle there. Because that's like a kind of a protocol converter, a switchboard, because it allows you to write your bot code once. It's a write once, run anywhere kind of model here. And the bot connector service connects through from your bot through to all of these different message-oriented endpoints, these other apps. So whether it be web chat, Facebook, Skype, Slack, and a bunch of new ones that we announced at Build, Cortana Skills, which is where I've been working most recently, and also with Microsoft Teams, and also into Bing. So all these different endpoints are all there. And if you've got even if you've got an app you want to talk to a bot, you can use our Direct Line API at the bottom, which just allows you to just use a bot service as if it's a REST service. All of this stuff is kind of the elements of what a bot looks like. Now, if you talk about apps and websites, the design patterns for those are really well understood. We kind of been doing that for many years. We know the best way of building these things. But bots are kind of new, and to be honest, we're still working out the best design patterns for bots. But thanks to a lot of you as well, we've been working with a lot of partners in hack events and building out interesting bot scenarios. And working with you, we are refining a lot of these design patterns, and you can find out all that. We've written it all up and find it at aka.ms/whackbotdesign. So please go and have a look at all of that content there. I want to drill down into a couple of those. So first of all, let's look at the idea of a knowledge-based bot. So this is a very, very common model where you give your bot a huge database of information, and then you want to have people to be able to easily ask questions of it. So the typical, somebody's got a query, a question, and we want to give them the right answer. So this would be a bot that's kind of for conferences or events, or the help desk bot, the classical situation, or a contact lookup, that kind of thing. Now, one way you can build those things is you can connect the bot through to our Bing knowledge graph. So with Bing, we have the Bing has knowledge of billions of entities, but also the connections between them. So you can ask the Bing knowledge graph something like, you know, who is Bill Gates? And it will come back with a nicely curated response, which it's drawn from, say, Wikipedia, and tell you who Bill Gates is. But then you can follow up with another question, say, and who is his wife? And the service is intelligent enough to know that his in that context means Bill Gates. So it maintains the context through multiple requests, which is kind of cool. Another pattern that's very common is the handoff to human pattern. So this is the scenario where, you know, somebody rings up your help desk and says, I've got a problem of some kind. And when you're handling those kind of questions, the first part of that interaction is always the same. It's kind of, okay, what is your name? What is your phone number? You know, where can I get back to you? And all this kind of standard information gathering triage that we start with. Well, it just so happens that this bit is a really great candidate for automation and allowing a bot to come in and do that initial information triage and gain that and get that initial information. And you're not tying up one of your human service staff to do that, the repetitive thing over and over. So you can make sure that they're available to handle the harder queries and the bot is handling that initial response. So it's really great for the bot to step in and just get that original information. And once that bit has been done, then, of course, we need to have a look at what it is that the query is and kind of do some analysis on it and then try and route the response to the appropriate point so that they get the answer they need. And quite often, that can be very simple and repetitive. So, you know, think of something like, oh, I need to reset my password. No, it happens all the time. It's a simple process, and actually it's one that's very well understood. This is what we call a recipe. And once you've got a recipe, that you can program that up. It's really easy. It's always the same things. Okay, you know, you establish the user's identity, you call some password that's going to reset, some API that's going to reset their password, and then you give them the means to define their new password. So it's really understood. It's a recipe. We can automate that. So this is a great candidate for allowing the bot to handle that one all the way through. But often, the bot will establish it doesn't have the knowledge, or the program that is the bot will say, okay, I can't solve this. This is not one of my recipes that I can solve myself. I need to escalate this to a real person. And there are two ways of handing off to a human, a complete handoff or a supervised handoff. So the complete one is really simple. At this point, the bot just steps right out of the conversation and the human takes over. So the human just says, okay, the bot has passed the context of the call and all the information that it has already gathered onto the human operator, so they don't have to ask the same questions. That would be irritating for the end user, but the human can then take up straight away from that and sort out the particular problem. Again, this is everybody wins and the user's getting a good response at the point where it needs to be handed off to the human. This happens. But actually, a more interesting solution, and one that we've been developing quite a lot recently, is where we have a supervised handoff. So in this case, the end user still is talking to the bot. That doesn't change. But there are three players now in this conversation. There's the caller, there's the bot, but behind the bot is the human supervisor, the human operator. So the bot has brought the human into the conversation, but the bot is still handling the response. So you see at this point in the conversation, the bot's saying to the supervisor, saying, hey, do you want me to apologize to the user? Do you want me to suggest a hardware service? Or do you want to take over? And you kind of put some custom solution in. So it offers these to the human operator, and the human operator then tells the bot what to do. And in this particular example, they said suggest a hardware service. So this is really slick. It's semi-automated. It's efficient. And again, your humans are getting involved only when they need to, so their resources are being kept for solving the more complex problems, and yet the end user is getting a fast and a good response. And also, we can analyze all these kind of things and learn from it, so we can improve the operation of the bot over time, allow it to implement more recipe solutions in it, so it can handle more cases, and the whole system kind of continues to improve. Another pattern that's very common is bot to web. This is where at some point, as the user is interacting with the bot, we need to do something something that the bot UI can't handle. So we need to launch a web page. Typical example of this is the user needs to authenticate. So the pattern for this is the bot will show to the end user a link, which the user then clicks, the hyperlink. At that point, the web window will launch, and the user, the flow then continues between the website and the end user. And when that flow is finished, then the website is going to close and pass control back to the bot again. But the interesting thing here is that underneath, there's a communications channel that's going on so that the web page is keeping the bot service informed about what's going on and can pass the response back to them. So that's a very, very common one for that. Another pattern, app bots. So a lot of people who are coming to bots kind of a little bit scared about this new thing and don't really know how to program that. But they might know how to build apps. In actual fact, it turns out a lot of bots are pretty much like apps. In actual fact, bots are apps. They can have rich UI. They can have buttons. And so there's a lot of commonality. And often, if you, as a new developer coming to bots, don't quite know how to program up a solution in a bot, our advice to you is they say to you, well, OK, how would you do it in an app? Because the thinking is the same. So this is a good way of thinking about things. And often, you don't really need rich language understanding. You need to have a very well-defined, a directed conversation with the end user to get them the result that they want. The last pattern I want to talk about is just proactive messages. So typically, a bot is just a web service. It sits there and waits to respond when it's triggered by an incoming message. But sometimes an interaction with a bot will cause some kind of long-running background processing to start, or the bot service has allowed the user to say, OK, notify me in the future when such and such happens, when my team scores a goal or whatever. And at this point, the bot service needs to be able to send messages kind of proactively without the user asking for an update. And we can do that as well, depending on the channel. So obviously the key thing here is the bot service needs to keep a track of the users who have made the request, so you'll store that up in a database. And then at some point later on, they'll need to send a message back. So this can really simple code. This is just a code snippet of how you might do that in Node.js, where you simply create a new message for a specific endpoint address. You set the text and the locale, and then you send it off to the bot connector. And then the bot connector will be responsible for delivering that to the endpoint. So not all channels can support this, but you know, for example, in Skype or Facebook, you can have proactive messages pop up to you. Just lastly, a lot of end users say, how can I help my service to learn? How can I get it to learn more and get better? Well, learn is a bit of an overloaded term, and this is just software. You know, bots are just programs. So really, the thing about learning is the first thing is to make sure you've got good analytics, because you can only improve what you can measure. So you need to have good information there. And all of the standard Azure services are there for helping you to instrument your bots to get information and insights into how they're operating. So I want to just show a video at this point which brings together a few of the things I've been talking about.
Hey, Zambo, look.
I think I'm seeing a drawing. What is it?
It's a picture of Isaac Newton.
According to Wikipedia.org, Isaac Newton was an English mathematician, astronomer, and physicist who is widely recognized as one of the most influential scientists of all time and a key figure in the scientific revolution.
When was he born?
Isaac Newton was born on December 25th, 1642.
Wow!
You look surprised. Did I get it right?
Yes, you did, Zembo.
Can you draw another picture?
Yes, I'll draw another picture of Neil Armstrong.
Cool, huh? So that was a robot, of course, which is not the same as a bot. Let's just get that clear. So the robot is made by Asus, and we've been working with Asus to allow Zembo to have more human characteristics and more human understanding. So we've been using a lot of our cognitive services to help that happen. So there's a couple of interesting things going on there. First of all, we have a custom speech service, which is specifically designed to help understand how children speak. So as the language is going in there, that's the custom speech service is going on. And also we are capturing, as the robot is talking to, interacting with a human, we're capturing images and we're sending those up and storing them in Azure. And then we are sending those to cognitive services and doing emotion detection, face analysis. So Zembo can detect whether it's looking at an empty room or whether there's a person in front of it. And we get the emotion and all that kind of stuff. And some of our standard language understanding services. So when the end user asks a question, we can figure out what they actually mean. We're also all the kind of stuff about Isaac Newton and all that, all the knowledge that comes from calls to the Bing knowledge graph. So all a lot of elements there which kind of bring together what I've been talking about. Good news is all of that code, well, a summarized version of it, not the robot bit, but our services, is up there on GitHub. So you can go and have a look at how we built it. And also the part of that is the language understanding model. So you can go in and have a look at all the way our language understanding model is. So all the questions that the child can ask of Zembo are also defined in here. So have a look at that code, and you can learn a lot about how we built this solution. Right, I'm just going to close by talking a little bit about cards. So you can build a bot that's just text, but that's pretty boring. And it obviously, a little bit of UI in there, an image paints a picture of 1,000 words, you know, so having some images in there is a really great idea. But any web developer will tell you that as soon as you start bringing in UI, the hardest part of their job is about skinning the UI for different kind of endpoints. And so it is with bots as well. Here's an example of all the different channels that we support through bots. Twitter, for example, has this format for showing some nice graphical content, all these meta tags, very pretty. But of course, when you go to Facebook, it's completely different. And this is a flight notification card in Facebook, which is JSON. And these are all slightly different. So this is a headache for bots, and it kind of is hurting our write once, run anywhere promise here. You can customize your bot to have specific outputs for each channels, but you know, we want to try and get away from that. So is there another way? Can we actually find out something that's somewhere between the very rigid fixed templates that each channel defines and the kind of anything goes of an HTML canvas where the kind of branding and the style of the channel would be lost? So we want something where we can still keep the branding and security and allow the developer to create something that will look good across all the channels, but just define it once. And this is our adaptive cards framework that we announced at Build. This is designed to be flexible enough to cover 80% of all the common scenarios. You can still obviously create custom cards if you want to, but 80% of the time we want to cover it with this adaptive cards framework. And this is open source. It's up on GitHub. You can pull it down. You can contribute. And we really hope you come and implement as well this adaptive cards. You can implement renderers on different channels. And the idea is you define your content once. And when it is shown, you kind of the end developer expresses what they want to show, but not exactly how it should be shown. We leave that to the channels. So you define it once, and it comes out on all the appropriately on all the different channels in the style of that channel. And we have great tooling up there as well. So there's an interactive visualizer where you can look what a card is going to look like on different channels. This is up on the web. A schema explorer, you can dig down into how the cards are defined. And also, we've got a plugin for Visual Studio Code, so you can do your work on adaptive cards right in there as well. So let's have a quick look at what we've got for adaptive cards. So first of all, if you go to the Microsoft Bot Framework, you know this is our landing page for the Bot Framework. And this is the problem, if you like. We support all of these different channels. This is a good thing, but also creates these challenges for people defining UI content in a bot. But we've got all of these channels, and this is the challenge we want to address, is to be able to define this once. So here's the GitHub repo, where all of the code, everything is up here. It's all open source. But the tooling and everything is at adaptivecards.io. And this is where you can find things like our visualizer. So you can here you can play with different card samples. So here you can see that we've got a card example, which is a field on here, which is a text block, and there's the text on that. You can specify the weight and the size, so you can give hints on how it's going to look. And then we've got a column set, which is kind of like a table. But over here, now you can see, OK, this is what it would look like on Teams. This is when it comes up as a Windows toast, because this is all tied into it as well. Here's a web chat and Bing and so forth, so on and so forth. So you can see how it will appear on different endpoint rendering. So we're supporting this in the bot framework, and we really hope that you'll start to build your graphical content in your bots using this framework here. All right, so if you want to find out more about what I've been speaking about, you can go to ak.ms/custom-vision for more on the vision service, and ak.ms on the custom speech for that one. But in more general terms, at microsoft.com/AI. So I just want to say at this point, there we go, this agenda slide. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you really enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you.